Welcome back. We are in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. Let's go. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." So God made a promise to Abraham. What do we know about God's promises? They're good. How do we know that? Because the promises that he has made, he has been good on. All of the prophecies that have been made have either come true or will come true in the future, but none of them have failed. None of them have proven to be false. That's one of the reasons that we can believe that God is God, and that we can believe that the Bible is the Word of God, the infallible Word of God. So his promise is good. And it's just like someone in your life. If someone makes you a promise, and then they make you another promise, and they make you another promise, there's kind of two kinds of people that you'll see in your life. The one who delivers on their promises, they do what they say they're going to do, they say what they say they're going to say. And then there's other people who make grandiose promises, promises that they know they can't deliver on, promises that they have a high likelihood that they think they may not be able to deliver on. And you learn to not trust the person who continues to break promises, and you learn to trust the person who keeps their promises. And God has kept his promises. And he made a promise to Abraham. Abraham, oh, Father Abraham, right? Patriarch, very important to Christianity and to Judaism. Great man. And remember that Abraham was not saved by his works, but by his faith, right? The Bible tells us, by faith you were credited with righteousness. That's Abraham. He wasn't even saved by his works. And he's Old Testament, right? The same thing in the Old Testament. They weren't saved by their works. They were saved by their devotion for God, for the future coming Jesus. And it says he made this promise to Abraham because he could swear by no one greater. He swore by himself. So who did he swear by? He swore by himself. I mean, I can't swear by myself. If I say, I swear to Mike that this is true, they'll say, wait, who are you to say that you're making a promise based on yourself and swearing to yourself, right? No, you go into a court and you're before a judge and they say, put your hand on the Bible. Do you raise your hand? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? So help you God. You're swearing to God that you're going to tell the truth. Well, there's no one greater to God. So he swore to himself, which makes sense, right? So it says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. He gave him lots and lots of blessings. There are so many blessings that came out through Abraham's life and through his descendants and multiplying him, right? Remember Abraham and Sarah at back in the day, it was Abram and Sarai, not Abraham and Sarah. God changed their names once he had to work with them. And they were old, like really old, beyond childbearing age. So they're like, what are you talking about? Multiply me. Like, we're old, dude. God, we ain't having kids. And yet God, supernaturally, got her pregnant. And, well, yeah, that sounds bad. She got pregnant at a very old age, an age beyond which any doctor today would say is even possible, at the age of 100. And so he delivered on this promise as well. Verse 15, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And the promise is eternal salvation. That is the big goal in life, to obtain eternal salvation. Have you accepted eternal salvation? And it's the beauty of our relationship with Jesus. Once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have salvation eternally. The devil can't snatch it from you. God's not going to take it from you, even if you sin, and you will sin, because you're considered sinless and righteous because you're clothed with the blood of Jesus, with the robe of Jesus, that righteous robe. He stands before you and God sees perfection. But we in ourselves and our flesh are still sinful, and we are going to sin. But hopefully we sin less, but we won't be sinless. But this promise here is eternal salvation. And so it says, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And Abraham, just being born a Jew, was not saved because he was Jewish, was not saved because he was lineage. No one is saved because of their lineage. No one is saved because of their genealogy. You are saved by faith in Christ and by faith in Christ alone. Period, full stop. No deeds enter into that. No lineage, no genealogy, no what you did, none of that. Did you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and invite him into your life and ask him to be your Lord and Savior? That's all you have to do. Verse 16. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. But that by two immutable things, in which is it impossible for God to lie, we have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold of the hope set before us. That is a very long sentence. All right. So what are these two things? What are these two immutable things? One is God's word, and the second is his oath. His word is good, and because his word is good, because he is God, he can swear by himself, and that oath is good. We do it in courtrooms today, and God can swear by no one greater than himself and his oath. So we've got that word, and his oath, and we can trust him. And it says God determined to show more abundantly, right? God wants us to live abundant lives. That doesn't mean prosperous. It means abundant in the fact that we have joy and peace chasing after God, stepping out in adventure, stepping out in faith, telling people about Jesus. And then it says, to the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which is it is impossible for God to lie. Do you understand that? It is impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. He can't. He's God. How cool is that? So that what that also tells us is that if he makes a promise, he will deliver on it. Every promise he's made has been fulfilled or will be fulfilled soon. Soon enough, right? Because we've still got the rapture, we've got the 7-year tribulation, then the 1,000-year millennial kingdom, and then the eternal kingdom. And it says, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Again, we see that word, hope. Do you have that hope, right? Your hope, if you understand that God is God, that his word is good, that his oath is incredible, that we can trust in him, that he cannot lie, then why would you want to place your faith anywhere else? Why would you not want to place your faith in him? Usually people don't want to place their faith in him because they're like, you know what? I like this other religion better. I like the deeds thing because I feel like I need to work for my salvation. Or I like the idea of being reincarnated life after life. How interesting will that be? Well, do you remember any of your past lives? Well, no. Well, then what's the point? Okay. Anything, right? Recently, I've heard some people say they don't go to church because they feel it's, you know, political and they don't want to be part of that. It's like, well, you're making a political statement by not going to church because you're saying, I believe so much in my ideology of politics and my ideal and my feelings that I'm going to put that over God. I'm not going to read the Bible, go to church, be in community or anything like that. So remember the hope. Have that hope. Trust in God. You want to have, and I want to have that hope that is so tangible. That you feel it. You wake up and you feel the hope. The people around you see that hope because you stand strong through the test of time. Just like when you squeeze a lemon, you get lemonade. When you squeeze a Christian, and Christians will get squeezed. God is going to test us and the devil is going to tempt us. And when we get squeezed, what God wants to see, what we want others to see is Christ. When we get squeezed, we want people to see Christ come out of us, right? In the sense that they're like, wow, how do you endure through that? How are you so patient? How are you so loving? How are you so trusting in the midst of this big trial? That's the hope that we want to have. And tomorrow we will pick up in verse 19. Dear God, thank you for making promises. Thank you for being fulfilling on your promises, for being good on your making good on your promises. Help us to trust you, to know that you can't lie, to know that you are just awesome and that you love us unconditionally. And you test us, Lord. And help us to be prepared for those tests and not be surprised by them. And just press into you, Lord. In your amazing name, amen.